over in Luke chapter 17. You read those familiar words there in verse 32. The gospel writer instructs us, teaches us to remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife, and then if we come back to Genesis chapter 19, and to that last verse we read, verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. With the word of God again open before us, let's still ourselves in his presence just now and come before him. If you're in this meeting tonight unsaved, without Christ, you know nothing of God's so great salvation, it's our prayer tonight that this night you would see how you stand before God, see your lost condition before him, and realize that he is the only refuge for your soul. And therefore we urge you tonight to flee to him. We're going to be looking at the lessons from Lot's wife tonight. And I pray that the word of God will be written upon your heart, and that even this night you would learn from this lady. Our Father and our God, we ask now that you'll come, and by thy Holy Spirit, we pray, speak to every waiting heart. O God, we ask thee this night to speak to those in particular who are out of Christ, lost and undone. We pray, O Lord, this night, you will bring them to a full assurance of salvation. And O Lord, as we would look into the lessons of Scripture, we thank thee, O Lord, that these things are written for our edification, these things are written for our instruction. And therefore we pray this night that each one of us will take instruction from thy word. So Lord, we pray, Spirit of God, our teacher be, showing the things of God to me. O Lord, we pray that the reality of death will come upon each one of us tonight. May we realize that we're not here forever. We're just passing through this world of sin. Therefore, O Lord, may each one of us be prepared, as Amos cried out, to meet our God. May someone even this very night make that preparation of coming to thee and being saved. So Lord, we pray now that you'll give help as we would seek to break the bread of life. Give understanding, we pray, Lord. Everything of man, let it fall to the ground and be forgotten. But may the things of God be hidden deep within our hearts, we might not sin against it. Lord, we pray now that you'll take absolute control. Hide this preacher behind the cross tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All of those individuals whose life stories are discussed for us in many of the history books that we read are there because of some great accomplishment that they have made in their life. And whatever their accomplishment may have been, it is written down and it is recorded for us in order for our remembrance. There are many people, even in the secular world, who have made great accomplishments, and we do well to remember them. And even on this very Remembrance Sunday, we've been remembering those who gave their lives, those who went at the call of duty, and paid the ultimate sacrifice with their life on the fields of battle. Yet I would say that for the vast majority of us, we live our lives. We leave this world behind and our names will be forgotten. We'll never be recorded in any book of history. There'll be no biographies written about us or for us. But in the Gospel of Luke, the writer here, under the inspiration of God, specifically commands us to remember a certain individual. We are commanded to remember Lot's wife. We don't know her name. Her name is not mentioned in Scripture. So little, in fact, very little, is known about this lady. Yet the facts surrounding her are of such importance that we are instructed not to forget about her. Yes, while it's good for us to remember the great men of God, those men who in Bible times accomplished many, many great things for the Savior and for the cause of Christ. We think of Abraham, think of Isaac, we think of David, we come into the New Testament, we think particularly of the Apostle Paul. Yet we're commanded to remember Lot's wife. And it's not so much the life that she lived that we're called to remember, rather it is the death that she died that is so vitally important for us even today. The events surrounding her death took place many years after even the gospel writer Luke wrote his gospel. And yet there are such lessons for us even today in 2010 we can learn from this lady and from the death that she died that God calls us to remember. Therefore, why should we remember Lot's wife tonight? I want you to see first of all with me here that we should remember her first of all, because of the privileges she enjoyed. The privileges this lady enjoyed. You remember, her husband, of course, was Lot. And Lot, we're told, was a righteous man. Now, I know Lot had many failures, many failings in his life, but he was a man saved by grace. We have that recorded for us clearly over in the book of 2 Peter. She was married to a man who knew the saving grace of God in his life. Yet she perished in a lost sinner's hell. Earthly relationships, marital ties, family ties will never be enough as far as God is concerned regarding salvation. You may be married to the godliest man on this earth. You may be the son or the daughter of the saintliest person in this community. Yet you could go out and lose your soul forevermore in a lost sinner's hell. Young person tonight, let me speak specifically to you. Do not think that because you were brought up in Mourne Free Presbyterian Church, do not think that because your mom and dad are saved, perhaps even grandparents are saved, that that will be enough for you. Salvation is something that you must receive for yourself. This was a lady who had great privilege being married to a godly man. A man, we're told over in 2 Peter, was righteous. This lady was also privileged because she was so close to the great father of the faithful and the friend of God, Abraham. Lot's uncle, of course. And how often she will watch Abraham prove God. How often she would have been influenced, no doubt, by the life and the testimony of that great man, Abraham. His godly character was plain for all, including Lot's wife, to see. She would have seen that salvation is real. In the life of that man, Abraham, she would have witnessed that God was a God worth serving. And as she would have watched Abraham set up the altars and the worship to God, she would have been sure of his salvation. What a privilege this lady had. What a privilege this woman had to be so closely associated with one of the greatest men of God who ever walked on this earth. Yet in spite of her marriage to Lot, in spite of her close ties to Abraham, this woman perished in hell forevermore. She was privileged because of the relationships that she had. But far greater than that, I believe, she was privileged because of the warning that she received. In verse 17 of Genesis 19, we read, "Escape for thy life." She was told that judgment was coming. She knew that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were going to be destroyed in the wrath of God. She knew that God was going to judge sin. And God, in His grace and mercy, came to her and to her husband and her family and warned them to escape. Am I speaking to someone tonight? And here you are again found in the gospel service, and we thank God for that. Am I speaking to some young man or some young woman? Am I speaking to some older man or some older woman, and you have lost count of the number of times you've sat under the preaching of the Word of God? You've been told plainly from the Scriptures that man is born in sin, and that sin separates from God, and that God will judge sin. And you've been told that there is a refuge from sin, and that refuge is found alone in Christ. Yet tonight still finds you in this meeting unsaved. Tonight still finds you here without Christ. Still in your sin. You've heard the warning, just as Lot's wife heard the warning to escape and to flee. What a privilege. And there are countless thousands, yea, millions of people across the face of this world have not the privilege that you've had. Surely our province is privileged, is blessed beyond measure with gospel preaching churches. And yet tonight you're still in this meeting unsaved. You fail to heed the warning. What a privilege this lady had. What a privilege you have, not because you're hearing it from the mouth of this preacher, no, not in the least. Because you're hearing it from the Word of God. The need to flee from sin. The need to get right with God. See the privileges she enjoyed. But I want us to come a little further here in Genesis 19. And I want you to see with me here the sin she committed. Because she had the privilege of being warned to flee. And she did make some effort to get saved. She did make an effort to escape and to avoid the judgment that was coming. As we've said, in the midst of that wickedness and the terrible sin of those cities, God came and God was merciful to them. God gave them the warning. And she did make some attempt to escape. You see the command of God there in verse 17, as we've said, to escape from my life, but it goes a little further. It says, look not behind thee. See it there in verse 17, escape for thy life, look not behind thee. And with her husband she starts on the exodus out of the city and to move away from the focus of God's wrath into that place of safety, that city of Zoar. She even experienced the hand of God upon them. Verse 16 is a wonderful verse describing for us the mercy of God. God was bringing them. God was leading them. They lingered probably in disbelief. And so she made some attempt. She had a little concern. She was guilty of the sin of delay in the matter of her conversion. You come down again to verse 26. Look what it says. His wife looked back from behind him. Yes, she had started. She had made some attempt. But she delayed. And she perished. She still hankered after the things of the world. She still hankered after the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. She still wanted the world. She wasn't fully convinced. See, their flight out of Sodom was a step of faith. Because that day in Sodom and Gomorrah was just as any other day. Just like any other morning, we read that the sun rose in verse 23 as it always had done. Everything seemed as before. And I can picture Lot's wife and looking at the scene before her and thinking, how can God ever destroy this? Look at the beauty of His creation. How can God ever destroy this? Why are we running? Why are we fleeing? Why are we escaping? Maybe tonight you're thinking, oh, I've heard this all before. God's going to come and God's going to judge this world. How can God come and destroy the world that He made? You remember Noah's day. God said, I'll send a flood. I'll send a flood to destroy this world. The people didn't believe. And maybe tonight you think God wouldn't destroy a soul in hell. What about the God of love that you speak about? Yes, my friend, God is a God of love, but God is one who hates sin. And sin must be punished. And sin will either be punished in our Savior, and you come to Him by faith, or sin will be punished in your body in hell. Lot's wife was guilty of disbelief. Could God really destroy this place. You thinking tonight, can God really destroy my soul? My friend, yes, He can. Yes, He can. Remember the testimony. The testimony of the rich man. In hell. In hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. What a testimony. What a warning tonight to you who are out of Christ. There is such a place. There was the sin of delay she lagged. There was the sin of disbelief. She didn't believe that God would do what He said He would do. There was the sin of blatant disobedience. Look at verse 26. What did she do? She looked back. She looked back. The clear command of God was not to look back. And yet she openly flaunted the law of God. A simple, a clear command, and yet she totally disobeyed it. You remember our first parents in the Garden of Eden? God gave them a simple command. Don't eat of that fruit. But they ate it. Not that there was anything wrong with the fruit. God gave the command, and God's laws and God's commands are to be obeyed. My sinner friend tonight, don't think you can flaunt the law of God and get away with it. Don't think you can live on in your sin and somehow it'll all be all right in the end. And God, through His Word, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Then He means that there is no other way of salvation. There is no other means of escape but through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through your good works. It's not through your church attendance. It's not by your living right before all men. It's by your faith and trust in Christ and in Christ alone. Oh, sinner friend, tonight, don't linger in your sin. Don't delay in the matter of your salvation, because judgment is coming. The privileges she enjoyed, the sins she committed. But notice as well here the punishment she received. Listen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. My friend, if you live and sow your seeds of sin, then you will surely reap a harvest of destruction. That's exactly what Lot's wife discovered. And her judgment came in the same way that it came upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. In the same way that it comes upon every sinner who dies rejecting Jesus Christ. Where did this lady perish? Where was it that this lady met her final end? Was right at the gates of the city of refuge, the city of Zoar. She was almost there. Almost there. You remember Abner, who was fleeing from Joab? Where was it that Abner died? Where was it that Joab caught up with Abner? Right at the city gates of Hebron, city of refuge. And he died there as a fool. Lot's wife died within yards of the refuge for her soul. My friend, tonight in this meeting, this is the gate of heaven to your soul. My friend, tonight, if only you could realize God has been good to you. God has been gracious to you. God has brought you thus far. Don't lose your life. Don't be almost persuaded. My friend, tonight, be altogether persuaded. This lady was almost persuaded about her need to flee, but she perished. And there, on the edge of that shore of fire and brimstone from heaven, she became a pillar of salt. That day, hell rained from heaven upon earth. The judgment of God came as God said it would. And this lady perished, along with all the inhabitants of the cities. Her punishment was swift. No time to look back. No time to turn her head the other way. Instantly turned into hell. My friend, you in this meeting tonight without Christ, and you die. You leave this world behind in that state, then that will be your punishment as well. The Bible tells me that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. And my friend, that's what you need to be concerned about. That's what needs to trouble your soul tonight. It's the after this, the judgment of God that will come upon your soul for sin. Praise God, He comes tonight in grace and mercy, as He has come so often before. And He extends the invitation to you tonight to come and be saved. To come and lay aside the sin. Come and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone to save you. Oh, don't leave this meeting tonight. Don't go out the doors of this church tonight without getting right with God. God came in judgment upon this lady suddenly and swiftly. Not one of us knows if we'll ever see the front doors of her home tonight. Not one of us knows where we will be 2 moments, 2 minutes after we leave this church. My friend, tonight, escape for your life and get to Christ and get to Him now. He says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not next week, you've put it off too long. You've delayed in the matter of salvation for far too long. You need to get saved, and you need to get saved now. Wonder tonight, will you heed the warnings of this lady? I pray that this night you won't die the death that she died. But my friend, tonight I pray that you'll come to Christ. Come and experience the joy of sins forgiven. And know with assurance that you're ready for heaven and for home, that come life or come death, you'll be able to say it's well with your soul. He stands tonight with arms wide open, ready, willing to save. He says, "Him that cometh, I'll in no wise cast out." Wonder, will you come? Will you come tonight and be saved before it is too late? Will you get right with God and get right with Him now? Let's bow in a word of prayer. Don't leave it any longer, my friend. God calls in grace and mercy to your soul. And don't delay. If tonight you want to get saved, you want to get right with God, we'd be only too happy to speak to you. Perhaps speak to a Christian friend who's brought you or with you. They can point you to the Lord. They can't save you. My friend, tonight, don't leave this meeting without getting right with Christ. Remember Lot's wife. Father in heaven, we pray, O Lord, that you'll write thy word upon our hearts tonight. Lord, that sinners this night will flee to Christ. That sinners this night will get right with thee. Sinners this night will come and be saved. That they'll heed the lessons of Lot's wife. That they may not die the death that she died. O God, that this night they'll come and prepare to meet their God. Hear and answer prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our service tonight by turning to the words of hymn number 246. 246, time is earnest, passing by. Death is earnest, drawing nigh. Sinner, wilt thou trifling be? Time and death appeal to thee. 246, we'll stand as we sing this hymn together, please. pray, O God, now that thy presence will rest and remain abide upon us throughout the hours of this night. Separate us with thy blessing, we pray, keep us each one in the Spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.